So is Cynthia. And we're glad you found us on this fine Thursday morning. Our toll-free number is 866-305-6887. That song you heard, All I Know, is by an old, old friend of mine. And glad to have him with us. One of the mainstays of the Euro high-energy music movement, Ernest Cole. How are you, dear?
I'm quite well, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. Pull the mic up. Okay. Mic up nice and close. There you go. Don't be
Yay.
Shy, baby. Don't be shy. So now, you've been at this for how long now?
Oh, God. Since I was actually in high school. Because you remember I was doing vocals for Bobby O back then.
That's right. Producer Bobby O, who did the jukebox song.
With the Flirts.
The Flirts and all
and,
that stuff.
And Divine, which yeah. I sang back up on Made of Love and Step by Step and things like that.
So you've been at it for a minute.
Yeah.
You've been at it for a minute. And so, you know, what keeps you going? What's been keeping you going? Because it's hard to, you know, you're an indie artist. You're kind of keeping yourself alive yourself.
What keeps me going is the music. Yeah. I absolutely, totally love it. And it gives me such joy to be able to create my craft and to be able to do that. I just adore it.
And so now you've been, when did you put out your first record?
My first song record. You know, under my own name. It was in 1985, and that was on Unidisc Records.
Yeah.
And that year we put out four records, which was Come Alive at Night, I Think I Love You, Potential of We, and Cut the Game. And then they put out the whole Ernest Cole EP.
And so, do you remember what those first shows were like?
Oh, indeed, yes. I was a little bit wilder in those days. I was working with designer Jean-Paul Gaultier, and he was doing all those skirts for me, and I was doing the combat boots and ripping them off, the dancers ripping them off me,
yeah.
and wearing the wrestling suits and... all the wild stuff. It was really quite fun, and playing great venues like the Saint and Limelight, and it was really a really special time in history.
Now, were you always out?
No. Actually, several of my earlier labels and my earlier management sat me down and told me, if you even say you're gay, you are over. We will cancel your contract right away, which I felt really uncomfortable about. And I always thought, like, you know, I'm so kind of out there. How are people not going to get it?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm showing up in a Gaultier skirt with combat boots and, you know, just going off, how are you not going to get it? But I guess in that period of history, everybody was a little bit wild,
yeah.
you know? And finally... going later into the 80s, into the 90s, I just said, you know what? I got to be me. And coming out was probably the best thing that I ever did, especially for my music, because I really want to represent the gays in the music industry, because we stand so strong and we do create such great music and we need to be heard.
And the thing is that was your primary audience really from get-go. And
yes,
so,
indeed.
Yeah, there was a really long time, because Ernest Cole was us here at Alcum in the Morning, and we've known each other for...
God, 20 years?
Girl,
at
we
least?
Were both younger, cuter, and thinner. Well, you still look good. But anyway, let's just say time is tick-tock on for
you
us.
Look great!
But the thing is that there were so few artists who were able or, you know, were courageous enough to come out during that time, so that there was a lot of whispering and a lot of so that it kind of fed into this this feeling of almost despair, even though the music was very happy.
Right.
Kind of felt like it wasn't really something, you know, like you were celebrating, but you had to do it with the door locked.
Indeed, you're very correct in that statement. I do think what kind of brought me out also was when I went on tour as the opening act for Dead or Alive, because that had such a gay following, and there was no hiding it with Pete Burns around.
Yeah.
You know, he was like flamboyant as the day was long. And it was just a point where I just said, as I said, I had to come out.
Yeah.
And now I'm just there.
Now you're just there. Well, Ernest...
And people are accepting it. And that's what's great.
And it's no big deal.
And straight people even like my music.
Sure.
So that's what's even better, you know? So if I can appeal to straights and gays, I'm so happy.
Absolutely. Well, Ernest Cole's with us here at Alcum in the Morning. Our number is 866-305-6887. You have a new single called Say Adieu. And why this song?
Why this song? Yeah. Well, it's very, very special. It was one of the last songs that my late writing partner, Daryl Carpenter, wrote before he was succumbed to AIDS. And it was written with Daryl and myself and Steve Skinner, who is my longstanding producer. The great Steve Skinner, who
I've known Steve for many years.
Yeah, you know, from Rent and Bette Midler fame, Pulitzer Prize winner.
Sure.
Amazing. Still working with him. Even right now, we're going back in to do the new album. Got new tracks all laid already. Just got to get my voice up again. Just coming off of a cold. But Sage is a really special song, and it's based kind of on the fact that 2.5 years ago, I lost my husband of 14 and a half years, who you remember.
Of course.
Brian Scott Harper. And I've dedicated this song and the album to him because he really did so much for my career. In fact, I think he was the best manager I ever had in my
he
existence.
He was very persistent, I can tell you that. And it was sad because it was very abrupt. You know,
it was so sudden.
Because
was...
I remember when I don't want to get bring things too far down, but I remember getting the note about Brian, and I had a voicemail message that he had left me like 2 days before about having you come on the show, and
I didn't know this.
Yeah, yeah. And it was very startling to me. I was like, what?
Yeah, it was really startling to me because it happened on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We'd just come off of tour. We were on a break from tour, and we had to lengthen the show. We had started work on the new album, this album, actually.
Yeah.
And he was the one who had suggested redoing Only You, which was a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that ran to number one. And, of course, the Almighty Mix took it over, you know, with Tony, Mike Kopeck and Tony Spaulding, their flawless mix. And he sent me to the store on a Sunday afternoon. He was cooking dinner, and we were going to watch reruns of Desperate Housewives and that home makeover show with that Thai guy.
Yeah, Ty Pennington.
Yes, yeah. Extreme Home Makeover. And sent me to Fairway Market and to get coffee and coffee filters. I didn't want to go, and he was very persistent. And I came back and found him on the floor gone.
Mm.
It was like
very sad.
Rocked my life really bad.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
He was the nicest person I think I ever met.
He really, indeed. And like I said, very persistent because 2 days before, and he was like, you know, we're working on the record. We want to have him come back on your show. And I'm like, I was going to call him back and say, yeah. And
but he wasn't like rude persistent.
But he was
driving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's hear some of the single Say Adieu by Ernest Cole. Check this out. Now, that's the Steve Skinner mix of the Ernest Cole single Say Adieu, which is available right now. And it's doing very well with the Euro DJs and the high energy
it's
DJs.
It's actually on almost every single record pool in the States, which I'm quite shocked. And radio's picking up on it, which I love.
Which is neat. You know, what a lot of the hardcore house music or kind of fresh out of teens club goers don't know is that there's this other club sector of DJs known as Euro High Energy DJs, and they're the DJs who support the long-standing producers and artists like Ernest and Steve Skinner and so many other people, and people don't realize that that's a pretty thriving part.
They're very faithful.
Yes.
I mean, and they're a very tight union of people,
yes.
And they really buy your records, every single record you put out. And I'm so thankful for them, for that fan base.
Yeah.
They're very strong.
I mean, and it's a musical scene that was originally born in San Francisco, like 1980, right after the death of disco, the murder of disco, as
right.
I like to call it, with
Megatone, which I was on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, with Patrick Cowley and Sylvester and Paul Parker,
right,
and all of those people, and it kind of blossomed from there, and it was actually kind of embraced first.
Joe Carroll, the late Joe Carroll.
It was embraced first by, and the reason why they call it Euro High Energy is because it was embraced first by European DJs who didn't want to play into the American idea that disco was over.
Right.
And what it really was, by many people's understanding, the smart people's understanding, was the queer community reappropriating disco, because disco was fostered and nurtured by the queer club world. And then it was discovered by straight folks, the folks who were the Madonna equivalent of the 70s. And then it became a pop thing. And then they exploited it, burnt it out, and tossed it over their shoulders. And the queer club community said, well, we're not done with this. We still want to dance. And so that's where the Euro High Energy movement came.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And as it went on up through the 80s, what happened was is the straight people started getting into it. And
they started to come back.
Yeah, and it started. These records started to go pop. And I think my first big pop record, which crossed over, was Sooner or Later, Love is Gonna Getcha, which I don't know if you remember or not.
Of course I remember it. What are you talking about?
And
we have it on one of those CDs, because there's also, in addition to the single Say Adieu, there is the two CD set called The Essential Ernest Cole, and it has, just about anything you would need. it's 26 songs. Now, Sooner or Later is on the second CD, Cynthia.
And this is my record company's idea, but I'm very honored that they chose this idea because they wanted to give me time to record the new album.
Yeah.
And I'm working with most of the old producers that Brian and I worked with, from Steve to Stephen L. Freeman, Paul Goodyear, of course, the great Tom Moulton, the creator of disco. Lance Horn, Elliot Sokolov, Elliot S.
Yeah.
So many people are on this record.
Absolutely.
And,
you know, when Ernest talks about Tom Moulton, Tom Moulton can actually honestly claim the title of the creator of disco, because he's the guy, in case you didn't know this, he's the guy who in the studio mixed and mastered some of the first big disco records.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually became the guy who mixed all of the top disco records. And
indeed.
Was responsible with people. One of my favorite, I keep trying to get Tom Moulton to come up here and he won't.
I bet you I can get you.
Because he'll just keep saying, no, I don't. You don't want to hear from me.
I can't hear Tom saying that.
Oh, please. He tries to play coy with me. Ever since I dubbed him Papa Disco Bear in my column when I was at Billboard.
I think I remember that article.
Because I used to have a little crush on him. But anyway, he's responsible.
He was the Marble Man.
Yeah. He's a guy, though, who used to mix the Gloria Gaynor songs, because she was a sluggish, slow, behind-the-beat singer, and he would speed her voice up to hit the beats.
Which is so weird, because what he does with me is he actually gets in the booth with me, and he'll hold his hand up and make me do that go behind the beat, because he says it's making my sound more funky.
Yeah.
And
but she was.
It's hard to do.
It's hard.
Like,
yeah, it's
not
very,
go
very
right
hard
on
to
the
do.
Floor on the floor.
Yeah, because he was like, she's such a lazy singer, for God's sakes.
I think one of his greatest terms were, and I can't say the artist that he was speaking about, is when he will say, they phoned their performance in, and he will make you do it over and over again until you get it right.
She's a fierce diva. Anyway, let's hear a little bit of Sooner or Later by Ernest Cole from Essential Ernest Cole. Come back to the vocals, a long instrumental lead there. One, two, three. I know you're in there somewhere, Ernest.
Believe it or not, I used to perform this whole version.
I know. I've seen your shows, Ernest. I've seen your shows.
This is just enough for you to put your drink down and then run to the dance floor, depending on where you're standing.
Well,
in
there
the
would
room.
Always be, because he was like the Vegas club guy. He always had dancing girls.
Wait till you see the new show. In fact, the director is sitting right over there, and he's changing it up a bit. So
really?
I think you're going to
be going to Go-Go Boys this time?
Oh, we can't even tell you, but there's going to be some things that I've actually never done.
Like what? There he is.
I told you time and again, I'll get all the love.
So that's from the Essential Ernest Cole double CD set. And Ernest is with us here at OutQ in the Morning. I'm Larry Flick with Keith and Cynthia. Now, while Ernest and I are talking, Cynthia, put in the CD one and cue up song five for me.
What I can tell you about that song, it's really interesting. It's been remixed again, and it's coming out on a CD out of the UK called My UK Greatest Hits. Megamix, because I guess I'm famous all over the globe now. And it's been mixed by DJ David Strong.
I've heard of David Strong. He's a good guy.
He's awesome. I want to do a shout out to him because I know he's listening right now in Ireland.
Dave. Hey, Dave.
And
hey.
How you doing?
Well, and so is it weird? Because that's something that happens a lot with a lot of the classic Euro high energy songs, is that they kind of there's like the really hardcore energy version, and then it's slowed down, it's sped up, it's made fatter, it's made thinner, it's made this, it's made that, and there are 25,000 mixes on 10 different compilations.
That's... Indeed, there's a good and a bad of that. The good point is it's giving the DJs a really wide panorama of different versions of it to play in many different venues, so they can play whatever version. Like if they're a house DJ, I give them a house mix or a circuit mix. Or if they are a progressive trance DJ, we give them a progressive trance mix. But on the other hand, to perform it, if they speed your vocal up or something and you've got to sing to a track that you normally didn't sing it to at that BPM, to sing it is like outrageously weird because it goes into a different key.
Yeah.
And when you go up to hit those high notes, it's like way out of your range, and you're like literally squeezing your legs together to get it out.
And I've seen that because Ernest is notorious for his very, very high range. And my personal favorite
song, hold notes. It's Matt, and in the new record, it said, "Don't do the hold note. Don't do the hold note." I did it once in the recording, and Steve used it on the next single, and it came out brilliant. And I only did it on one take.
And then you had to go. Now you have to go out and sing it every time. All right, so
but I held it forever.
Oh my god! And do you have the song queued up? This is actually my favorite Ernest Cole song, and I remember seeing you perform this.
I didn't even know that you had a favorite.
This is my favorite Ernest Cole song. It's called "To Save the Love." Bring that back up. I want to hear more of that. So now what I remember about that song, and the reason why I have such a... I like all of your songs, but why I have such an affection for that was because it was a song that broke very early on in the AIDS pandemic, and it was around a time when we were all losing a lot of our friends, and I was writing the dance music column at Billboard magazine, and every single week for like 3 years, I was running obituaries for DJs and singers and producers and all these people who we had lost to HIV. And when that song came out, it was a very successful song during the summer the first time I went to Fire Island.
Yes, and I remember performing it out there.
And I saw you perform it out there at the Ice Palace with Chuck the Jock.
Yes,
God rest his soul.
Chuck the Jock, I loved him.
God rest his soul. He was such a beautiful man.
Wonderful. And, of course, Dean Ferguson. Oh, God.
You know, he's still out there making music.
Yes,
selling music. And, the great, great promoters like Brian Cronin.
Brian Cronin, of course.
All these people.
Frank Murray.
Frank Murray.
My God.
And I remember going out there with all of them. Brad LeBeau. And I remember hearing this song during this after we had dinner one night and you were performing and we didn't know each other that well at the time, but we were all kind of huddled, Frank and Brian and Chuck the Jock was DJing, and you sang a song, and we were all just like a little huddle having a little bit of a cry and just kind of thinking about, all we were clinking our martini glasses to the people we'd lost. And that just, I whenever I hear that song, I think about that time, and it's like a bittersweet memory for me because it was never as great as that summer for me, but it was also very sad at the same time.
And you know, when I perform it now, it brings up so many memories, especially with losing Brian.
Yeah.
It's so close to my heart. And the fact that Steve did such a wonderful remix on
it.
It just really touches my heart, that song. In fact, that's probably one of my favorite songs in my whole collection.
Really? Well, what's really good about the Essential Ernest Cole double CD set is that it has those songs, and there are collaborations and duets that that you may be aware of or that you may have forgotten, like Don't Go Breaking My Heart with Linda Imperial.
Oh, I love
Crazy
Linda.
Crazy girl, psycho girl. I love her. She's nuts. Actually, you're on the CD with like a lot of psycho girls, because there's Fugitive of Love with BB Snow.
Oh, with the great Phoebe Snow.
So nutty, I want to hit her with a crowbar.
I love her, though.
I love her, too, but don't bring her near me. And, of course, I specialize in love, Ellen Harris.
Yes. Do you remember that performance?
Yeah. Yes, Ellen Harris with little Ellen and little Harris coming out of her bustier.
Work.
Count the veins, I'm just saying.
I am not saying anything.
You don't have to. I'll say it.
Let him do it, honey.
And she's a publicist now. She's brought her people up here to do our show. So,
I'm never going to be able to look at her the same way. Because
Ellen?
I've met her.
She's been up here. She's got gigantic tits. She's still with that
weird old guy. Which is so weird, because I had worked with her years ago in musical theater, and then I re-met her through my voice teacher, Katie Agresta, the great legendary.
Who's also on this record.
Yes, who we did a duet with of The Rose, which has been very successful.
Yeah.
And is a great singer herself. And we did this record, and I got it signed to Megatone, because at that point I was on Megatone Records when it existed. And Ellen just was this thing and took off.
She in the club music world for about 4 years, she was omnipresent. And she only put out the one record.
Right.
The one record that she did with Ernest. And she was everywhere, and somehow this woman talked herself onto the same committee that I was on that created the Dance Grammy.
Right.
She and I served National Academy
Recording
Arts and Sciences.
And I remember Jelly Bean coming to me to ask me to do it, and I was like, yeah. And weren't we at a Winter Music Conference?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And so somehow she shoehorned herself into this very powerful... This is a very powerful panel,
which we got to thank you guys for.
Yeah, because there were 10 of us who got together and put together this panel, you know, who fought to get the first ever dance.
Which really had to happen.
It had to happen.
And Frankie Knuckles won it that year, didn't he?
No, he didn't win that year.
Who was the first one to win?
The first one was David Morales.
David Morales.
Yes. Actually, well, he's the first remixer who won.
Okay.
The first record that won was, if I'm not mistaken, a Madonna record. I can't tell you for sure, though. But, you know, so, and I love her. You know how much I love her, right?
Right.
Can't sing a note.
I never said that. Ellen, I never said that.
Can't sing a note. Did every
Steve and I did a really good job producing.
Yes, you did.
Yes, y'all did.
Auto-tune, baby. She's auto-tune.
And she could just run it through a computer.
And so
digitally,
after that, she was
We actually did a little bit of a trick. I don't know if I can...
Just tell it.
Tell
it.
All right.
Tell it.
Tell America.
We had the help of Tom used the term SOS for the backing vocalists. And they sang on Grace Jones's records. And we brought them in to sing on that Specialize in Love. And they really helped out. Let's put it that way.
Yes, indeed.
SOS for a reason, huh?
They were called the Sweethearts of Sigma.
Yeah.
But
they were really for the lead singers who were SOL.
Ooh.
Shit out of luck. But anyway.
Well, he used them a lot on Grace. He didn't have to use them for First Choice because they were awesome.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Well, always fun to see you, Ernest.
Oh, God, it's so good to see you. It's
always
been too
fun
long.
To see you. We want to encourage you to investigate Ernest Cole's current single, Say Adieu, which is number 2 on the Euro Energy single chart.
Right. Essential just went number 1.
Essential just went number 1 on the Euro Energy album chart, 2 CDs, and we'll see you again very soon.
Oh, I hope so. It's been too long.
Absolutely.
And I want to give a quick shout out to Jason Davis to say thank you so much for bringing all the DJs together to make this all go on number 1.
Very good, very good. When we return, Katty Krasner and Ask Katty. What is she answering about Duran Duran? The
866-305-6887. Out Q in the morning with Larry Flick on Sirius Out Q 109.